showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Last night we talked about the idea about, you know, going to church and why choose Jesus. A lot of people today are changing their vain imaginations and they're choosing manly or worldly doctrines. And our title this morning, if we want to put a title, they are without excuse. In Genesis, the third chapter, we're going to read about the first excuses in the Bible. Remember, God created Adam and Eve, and God told them, but he gave them everything. They had a beautiful garden to live in, and he said the one stipulation, you don't eat from a particular tree in the garden. So we go to Genesis 3 and 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Think about it. The first excuse is in the Bible. It's common when you've been married a while to make excuses. It's common to even blame one another. Yeah, it's your fault. Well, Adam and Eve blamed each. Well, Adam blamed Eve. Eve blamed the serpent. But God had given them clear instructions. He said, you do not eat of this tree. You've got all these other trees, you've got all these other things that you can eat. One tree. But the temptation was there. Yeah, when he revealed his will to us, we have no excuse for disobeying. His will is revealed. And you look at your Bible, and Bill Jr. did a lesson one time about the different things that are written in the Bible and are they a command or whatever, and I'm sure he's given it here. But think about this. A lot of the things that are said in the Bible, they're commandments. It doesn't say, okay, thou shalt not. All commandments of God doesn't come in thou shalt not. When he reveals his will to us, then we have no excuse. John 15 and 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. Christ gave the warnings. He sent 12 men out, or 11 men after Jesus hung himself, and they started proclaiming the gospel. They suffered great pain. They suffered great deaths at the expense of the gospel. When you had Paul in, you still have 12. And think about what Paul went through. They had warnings. And they wrote the inspired word. scripture we used last night, for all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The Bible is here. If we read it, we study it, we hear it, we have no excuse. And if we don't study it, we don't read it, we don't listen to it, we still don't have an excuse because we have the opportunities. Ignorance is no excuse. For the invisible things, Romans 1:21, of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Well, Lord, I didn't know. Well, it's clearly written. And when we get to judgment, the books are going to be open. And you feel like that this book here is going to be one of them, and that's going to be the one that says, yeah, this is what you do, and this is what you don't do, and ignorance will not be an excuse. Getting the wrong button. Deuteronomy 4:29. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him, if thou shalt seek Him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. If we seek God, we're going to find Him. If we seek it out with all our heart and soul. That's plain and simple. We're told to search the Scriptures. We're told to read. We're told to study. Over in Timothy, he says, study to show yourself approved unto God. That's simple. Proverbs 8:17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. How about those that seek Him late? You know, sometimes it's late in life when people obey the gospel. Church I grew up in, one I go to now, but different building. I had an aunt that was faithful to go to church. My uncle was faithful to stay home. Yeah, that was big, plain and simple. He was faithful to stay home. But later in life, he ended up obeying the gospel. Later in life, he decided that he would follow Jesus. And it's time to quit making excuses. And he followed Jesus. Jeremiah 29:13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I think that says enough on its own. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that receiveth, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. You know, Christ is knocking on the door of our hearts, waiting for us to let Him in. And He says, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Seek and you'll find. Luke, the 14th chapter, and the 16th verse. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many send of supper, his servant at supper time, to say to them that were bidden, come, all things are ready. All things are now ready, and they all with one consent began to make an excuse. Preoccupation is not an excuse. But these people began to make excuses. It's precedent in the United States, whether you like them or not, and I'll throw that out, was to ask you, bid you to come to a big dinner at the White House, honoring you for something that you've done, would you go? Christ, our Savior, is bidding us to come to a feast. Are we going to make excuses? The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it, I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I need to go prove them, I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and into the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is no room. Yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. The gospel went out first to the Israelites. But the house of God still wasn't full. And those that were invited to the wedding still weighed empty. And men started to go out into the highways and the byways. They went to the Gentiles. And in doing so, you know, that he fulfilled the prophecies. But it made it possible for all of us. It made it possible so that we might all have hope when Christ died upon the cross. And that was the intention. Because God knew that the Jews would still reject him. Matthew 21 and 31. Whether of them twain did the will of his father, they say unto him the first, Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that you might believe in him. So preoccupation is no excuse. Three examples are given for excuses offered. They all indicate preoccupation, self-centeredness, indifference to the invitation. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have an excuse. Well, Lord, my going and seeing this piece of property, that's more important to me than coming and feasting upon this great feast that you have to offer. Think about it. What is more important than being part of the marriage feast? makes an important purchase, they're excited. You go buy a new car, new truck, you're excited, you want to go show it off. Let's face it, I remember when I was a teenager and my older brothers, whenever somebody bought a new car, they had to go show it off, and different people got to go drive it. And, you know, we can remember those times. And that was important. Nothing is more important than us being a part of the marriage feast. So, in his case, and in a lot of people's case, things tend to be neglected. And it's interesting to see the verbiage that is used here. In this case, he says, I must go and see it. In his mind, it was absolutely essential that he go see his piece of ground no matter what. No matter what the cost, and attending the great feast was secondary. How many of us say, well, I can't go to church because this is more important? Preoccupation is no excuse. This guy was self-centered. He just had to go see the piece of ground that he had purchased. Matthew 13:22. He also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word in the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, just the word, and he becometh unfruitful. This represents priorities. Where are our priorities? Are they on God, or are they on worldly things? Another set, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm going to test them. I ask you to have any excuse. Let's remember the first man was a proud property owner. This man's a businessman. I remember, trying to think, 25 years ago, I spoke at a little church in Tennessee, and a man didn't make it to Sunday morning service because he literally had to go get his cow out of the ditch. Yeah, that's one of those things you remember. This guy uses a different word. He doesn't say I must go. He said, I am going. He's already on his way. And the first one preoccupied with property, this man with business. So the building of the property and the testing of the oxen could have waited until the next day. Think about how many things that we can put off another day to go to a feast. My mother-in-law used to use the words as we ate, this is a real feast. Well, think about the great marriage supper will be a real feast. And these people were so preoccupied with their own affairs that that's what was important. Material possessions cannot be more important to us than God. They cannot be more important to us than making it to heaven. Matthew 6:33, this also, and this story is also true of many today, but he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's all in priorities. That's the bottom line. It is in priorities. These people had different priorities than what a true Christian should have. Than somebody who was waiting for the marriage feast. And they had advance notice. cannot come. I know a couple that got married 40 years ago this year. And they got married on Sunday afternoon. Guess where they were on Sunday night? They were in church. It's priorities. Okay, this man says, I cannot come. Simply impossible because he's just been married. Once again, it's just an excuse. So this represents people who live preoccupation with family, present them from serving God. Matthew 10 and 37, I think. This one, as well as one in Luke, really sums a lot of the preoccupation with family. He says, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew 19 and 29, everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Again, priorities. None of those who had been invited were coming. The master of the house was furious. We've been invited to a great feast. If we don't attend, God's going to be furious. And God will be angry with us if we undervalue His spiritual blessings. We sang the song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. Think about how everything that we have is just borrowed from God. Several years ago, I did a lesson, Count Your Blessings. And I think it was Roy Rogers, and I may have been mistaken, who did a song, and it talks about all the things that we have, you know, the hands we have, the feet, our ears, everything that we have, they're on loan to us from God. Everything we have, they're on loan to us from God. It's up to us to use the blessings, good jobs, nice houses. Tony was talking about times when they had chopped wood, and I'm not that old where I remember when we had chopped wood, we had a floor furnace. We had a gas floor furnace. One that you could lay on and you could get burnt. And that's how we heated our little house when I was growing up. I was talking to Brother Bill before church, and we were talking about old time Douglasville. And because I-20 used to end right there at Douglasville, Highway 5. And, of course, people would ride their motorcycles or dirt bikes up the hill there at the end of Highway 5. And down there on Highway 5, there was a great big building, a little white house. And in the white house was a guy by the name of Duff Teal. Duff was our local iceman. He would deliver, and some of y'all can remember, the big chunks of ice that would go in the ice box. Think about times when you've even got an icebox compared to other times when they didn't, to the nice refrigerators we have now. Everything that we have is because God has blessed us so greatly. and you look at this country in particular, church numbers are going down. Part of ours has gone down because we're not adding a lot of new members, but we're losing members, or we lost several members because of age. You know, that went on. And we've added a few. And you look at countries like Malawi, Africa, that are hungry for the truth. They don't have the modern conveniences. They don't have the cars. Brother Kent Dickinson used to talk about how people would walk. You know, they might walk 40 miles barefoot to hear the gospel. And I don't remember the exact numbers he gave, but, you know, they end up there with bloody feet from walking. You know, they don't have paved roads. These people are hungry for the truth. Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and thou hast revealed them unto babes. So going out into the highways and hedges represents the gospel call to the Gentiles. When all believers among the people of Israel have accepted Christ, there's still room. There's still room today to add to the great feast. Matthew 21:42, Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and shall be given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. The kingdom of heaven taken from the Jews and given to a nation that would bear the fruit. Matthew 8:11. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Acts 18:5, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own head. I am clean from henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. Acts 13:46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And many Jewish people today still reject that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was the Son of God. But I wonder, and this is me wondering, if some of the same people are benefiting from the treasures over there of history that show proof of Christ, or they claim show proof, including the burial spot and all this, because they open these things up and they make a lot of tourist money. And it's just a thought. We have no excuse. Revelations 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Let's don't, in closing, preoccupy ourselves with worldly things, but let's center our minds upon the blood of Jesus and upon the cross and not with the affairs of the world. We need to accept, if we have not, the invitation to the wedding feast. Because one day Jesus is coming back, and it's up to us to be ready. And that is our message this morning. If there's one this morning that has need of the gospel call, this time we'll extend the invitation. Once